Archibald said, good morning. Today's daf is Samech Beis. We have a lot to do today. We are starting from the Mishnah on the bottom of Samech Aleph Amud Beis. We'll say, now today, actually, I have to tell you, the next couple of blot are going to be great. These are some of the sugyas. We're going to do a little bit of the sugya period of Arivia. We're going to see some famous Gemaras, Rabbi Akiva. This is very exciting. Not that we need a break from Yevamos, you know, the rest. Yevamos, it's been a upward trajectory every single day. Baruch Hashem, but sometimes it's nice just to see a little bit of a different topic. So it says the Mishnah, Lo yivatal adam period of a rivya, ela im ken yesh lo banim, a person should not be mavatal, a person should not negate the mitzvah of procreation, unless, of course, a person already has children. I both say, the reason this Mishnah is coming along is why? Because remember, this is piggybacking on the previous Mishnah a little bit, where the previous Mishnah was speaking about marriage to an islandess. So now the Mishnah says that a person should not negate the mitzvah of period of Rivya, unless of course, a person has children. So for example, the way that would come up is how Reuven falls in love with an islandess. So can he marry the islandess or not? So the Mishnah would say, it depends. Reuven, do you have children? If you have children already, then Lamaisa, you can go ahead and marry the islandess. But if you don't have children, you should not marry the islandess. So what is period of Rivya? Beshamai Omrim Shnei Zichron. Both say these are important sugyas. So Beshamai says you need two sons. Ubeisilo and Beisilo say no zachar unekeva, a son and a daughter. Shene emar zachar unekeva bara'am, because the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them male and female. So interestingly enough, Beisilo brings his raya from creation of the world. That so too, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create humanity with a man and woman? So too, that represents the basic unit for period of Arivia. Says the Gemara, Ha yesh lo banim mipiria merivia mipiria verivia batal miisha lo batal. Now, what the Gemara infers from the Mishnah is what? That lamaisa, if you already have children, you are permitted to negate the mitzvah period of Arivia, but it doesn't mean that you're permitted to live without a wife. Meaning you have to have a wife. So the Gemara says, Miseyle Rav Nachman, this supports Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, Miseyle Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, the Amar Avapi Sheyesh Lo Adam Kamabanim, because Rav Nachman said the name of Shmuel, that even though a person has a number of children, Aser La'amod Belo Isha, a person should not maintain a state without a wife. Shene Amar, Latov Heyos HaAdam Levado. It is not good for man to be alone. Which Rabbi Sayyid Rav Soloveitchik writes extensively about the idea. I mentioned this, I don't remember where I mentioned this. I don't think it was in this year. It must have been a different context. About whether or not there's a mitzvah of marriage. So, for example, the Sefer HaChinuch brings down there's absolutely no mitzvah of marriage. That marriage is what we call a Hechsher mitzvah. You need to have children. Children should be had in a proper framework, a halachic framework. That framework is called marriage, but there's no independent mitzvah of marriage. However, the Rav says that you see from this Gemara that there is a concept of marital companionship. That there is this idea that even if marriage does not produce children, if marriage produces companionship, then by definition that is a meaningful union as well. And that's what Rav Nachman Bar Shmuel is saying over here. Or Nachman Amr Shmuel, that even if a person has already discharged an obligation for having children, they don't have to engage a period of Arivia, but they still should have a wife. Others explain, others say that if he already has children, not only does he not have to engage anymore in the mitzvah Pru Revu, but what? He no longer has an obligation to be married. The Gemara says, Nachman Amr Shmuel. This would seem to be a refutation of Nachman in the name of Shmuel, because Nachman in the name of Shmuel said that even if you already have children, a person should still try to be married. To which the Gemara says, lo, here's the halacha. Ein lo banim, no se isha bas banim. If a person doesn't have children, a person must try, at least endeavor to try, to go ahead and marry a woman who's capable of bearing children. Yesh lo banim, if he already has children, however, no se isha delav bas banim. If he already has children, he's permitted to even marry a woman who's not capable of childbearing. Nafkamina, what's the nafkamina? Limkar sefer Torah b'shil banim. The Shabbos say is, are you permitted to go ahead and sell a sefer Torah? In order to go ahead and get married. Now, I will say the halacha is, interestingly enough, the halacha is, if you look at Rashi, Limkar Sefer Torah, Kadei Lisa Bas Banim, Vim Yesh Lo Banim Lo Yimkar Ela Yisa Akara O Zekena. I will say the halacha is that one of the things that you are permitted to sell a Sefer Torah for is to get married. But that is only true for a marital union that has the ability to produce children. So if a person doesn't have children and they're getting married in order to have children, then lemaisa you're permitted to sell a sefer Torah. But if, let's say, a person already has children and they're getting married for companionship's sake, then halacha lemaisa they are not permitted to sell a sefer Torah. The Gemara goes weiter. Beishamai om shnei zecharim. So Beishamai says the mitzvah peru revu is two sons. Well, so just also our shir today is sponsored by David Kahn, in memory of his father-in-law, Zev ben Shlomo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah. And of course, in the Zchus of a Refuah Shlema for Cherna Tova, Bas Rachel Leah. So says Beis Shammai, Mitzvah Apir of Rivia is two sons. My Tamayo de Beis Shammai, what's Beis Shammai's logic? Yalfina Mimoshe. We'll say, where did we learn out? Where did Beis Shammai learn out that the Mitzvah Apir of Rivia is two sons? He learns that from Moshe Rabbeinu, Dichsiv, B'nei Moshe Gershom Ve'Eliezer. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. And I will say, it's not just Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, and then he stopped living with his wife, which would seem to indicate, we're assuming Moshe Rabbeinu followed the mitzvahs, which would seem to indicate that Lamaisa, the mitzvah of Piriv Rivia, is two sons. Ubeisila Yafina Mibriyasa Sha'olam. Beisila, on the other hand, learned it out from the creation of the world. The same way when God, so to speak, fulfilled the mitzvah of Piriv Rivia, he did it with a man and a woman. So too, again, our mitzvah of Piriv Rivia is also with a boy and a girl. Why doesn't Beis Shammai learn it out from creation of the world? Meaning, why doesn't Beis Shammai agree with Beis Hillel and just learn this out from the creation of the world? Which the Gemara says, "Ain done in Efshar, Mishai Efshar." You can't go ahead and learn out something that is possible from something that is impossible. In other words, I will say, what should HaKadosh Baruch Hu have created? Right? Meaning, again, if obviously the job of the first man and the first woman is to go ahead and father and mother humanity, so by definition he had, so to speak, no choice but to create the man and woman. But you can't go ahead and learn out from that what our obligation is. So the Gemara says, "Ubeis Hillel nami lelfu mimosha." Why doesn't Beis Hillel learn out, like Beis Shammai, learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu, and say that Lemaisa, the mitzvah of Rivia is two boys. Amr Lecha, Beis Hillel would say, Moshe midai tehu da'avit. Oh, we'll see, these are great Gemaras, really great Gemaras. So Beis Hillel would say that Moshe Rabbeinu acted of his own volition. What does that mean? Disanya. Shlosha dvarim asa Moshe midaito. Moshe Rabbeinu did three things of his own volition. V'eskima daito l'das ha-makom. And it was like a Moshe got a baruch shekivanta. It turned out that what he did, God agreed with. But Moshe Rabbeinu took action first of his own. Number one, what did he do? Piresh mina isha. He separated from his wife Tzipora. Number two, shibra saluchos. He broke the tablets. Number three, v'hosif yom echad. He added on one day of separation prior to Kabbalah's HaTorah. Now the Gemara goes through each of these. Pirish min Aisha, what does it mean he separated from his wife? My darsh, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that he was supposed to separate from Tzipora? Amar umay Yisrael shlo dibra imam shechina el lefi shah v'kavalahem zman. Now when the Shechina spoke with Klal Yisrael, when is that referring to? That's by Kabbalah's HaTorah, by Sinaitic revelation. When God spoke to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, he went ahead and he only spoke to them once. Furthermore, he set a time. He told them when he's coming to speak with them. But yet, Amra Torah al Tigshu el Isha, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people that the men and women must separate maritally, ani, so that they should be in a state of Tara. They should be in a state of ritual purity when God appears to them. Ani, I, Moshe Rabbeinu says, but me, Shemiucha l'dibor b'chol sha'av ha'shah, I speak to God all of the time. V'lo kava li zman, and God does not make a particular time for me to go ahead and speak with him. God does not set a time. Alachas kama v'kama. All the more so that I have to separate from my wife. V'hiskima daito l'das ha'makom. And ultimately what Moshe Rabbeinu did, Kadosh Baruch Hu agreed. Shine emar. Because after Matan Torah, God says to Moshe, Lech emor lahem ushuvu lachem la'ohalechem. Tell the people they can go back to their tents. V'ata po amod imadi. But you stay here with me. Now, Rabbosai, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, which we saw this Gemara, brings down like that shuvu lachem la'olechem, go back to your tents, is a euphemism for you can go back and resume an intimate relationship with your spouses. But he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ata po amod imadi. You, Moshe, you must stay here with me. Which indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he had to give up the trappings of a normative marital life. That's number one. Number two, Shiberas Haluchos. So Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead. So again, this is example number one where Moshe Rabbeinu took action first on his own, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him afterwards. Shiberas Haluchos, he broke the Luchos. Nabo said, this always is intriguing. You know, we take this story for granted that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos. But the obvious question is, how did he know? He was like, that's a pretty big step to take on your own without first conversing with God. So how does Moshe Rabbeinu know to do this? My darash, what did he darshan? Amar Uma Pesach Shu Echad Mishesh Meos Ushlosh Esrei Mitzvahos. Now when it comes to Karban Pesach, which is only one of the 613, Amra Torah Kol Ben Nechar Lo Yochabo. The Torah says that anyone who's a Ben Nechar, and I will say, what is a Ben Nechar? A Ben Nechar could mean a Gentile, but a Ben Nechar could also mean literally someone whose heart is estranged from God. So someone whose heart is estranged from God shouldn't partake in the Karban Pesach. So the Gemara says, HaTorah Kula V'Yisrael Mumrim Alachas Kama V'Kama. So all the more so, if Karban Pesach you can't partake, if your heart is not with God, then all the, and that's only one mitzvah, the Torah in its entirety, and Kala Yisrael Mumrim, because remember, they just built the Egel, Alachas Kama V'Kama. All the more so, they don't deserve this Torah. And therefore, he smashed the Luchos. The Eskimo Daito Adasam HaKoyen. Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with him. Dechsiv Asher Shibarta. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu about the Luchos. He says, P'sol L'chosh Ne'Luchos Avarim Korishonim. Go ahead and hew for yourself two new tablets like the first ones. And he says, and they should write on them, everything that was written on the first Luchos, Asher Shibarta, that you broke. V'amar Yishlakish, Yishlakish, Darshin, Amar Le'akodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe, Asher Shibarta, Yashar Kochach Asher Shibarta, Shkoyach, that you went ahead and you broke them. And I will say, there's a beautiful piece by the Oiv Yisrael, that the Oiv Yisrael, the Abter Rav, says, there's only one hole in Moshe Rabbeinu's argument. Let's tell Moshe Rabbeinu's argument, that by Pesach, there's a Pesach Sheni. That's right. If you can't go ahead and you can't bring Karban Pesach because a person's talking about Ben Nechar, there's always a makeup. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Oiv Yisrael says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should have realized that there's a makeup for them also. All right. Anyway, the Gemara goes on. Next, Hosef Yom Echa Midaito. Moshe Rabbeinu added on one extra day of separation prior to Sinaitic revelation. My darish. So where did he get this idea that he added an extra day? Dichsiv, v'kidash to my home machar. You shall go ahead and you shall sanctify yourselves today and tomorrow. So the Gemara says, or Moshe Rabbeinu darshin, hayom kimachar, today like tomorrow. Ma machar leilo imo, just like tomorrow, is a complete day, i.e. a night and a day. Af hayom leilo imo. So too today, the present day must also have a night and a day. Velayla daha idnot nafikle, and at this point in time already the night has elapsed. Therefore, again, today, the present day that they were sitting on, didn't, or the present day that they were currently in, Moshe Rabbeinu felt did not count as one of the shloshis mi'agbala, did not count as one of the 3 days of preparation, and therefore he added on an additional day. Shema mina treyome lebar meha idna. Therefore, it must be that we have to observe two more days other than the one we are currently in. V'eskimo daiti lemakom, and HaKadosh Baruch agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we know that? Deloshar Yeshchina ad Shabsa, because the Shechina actually did not come down upon the mountain until Shabbos, which again was only two complete days later. Tanya. So therefore, what the Gemara suggests, remember that was a long-winded answer as to why Beis Hillel does not learn out for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Beis Hillel, who says that it has to be a boy and a girl, why don't learn for Moshe Rabbeinu that it has to be two boys? Because they say, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu acted of his own volition. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't commanded by God. True, it turns out that Moshe Rabbeinu was mechaving to the right thing, but Lamaisa, that wasn't the tzivoy from Hashem, therefore that can't create our present day obligation. Tanya, Rabbi Nassan Omer Beshamai Omrim Shnei Zuchar Mushtei Nekevos. I will say now there's another brisa. And in this brisa, Rabbi Nassan says Beshamai actually holds that for the mitzvah Piri Verivya, you need to have two sons and two daughters. Ubeisila Omer Beisila says Zuchar Unekeva. No, one son and one daughter. Amar Rav Huna, my time of Rabbi Nassan. So what's Rabbi Nassan's logic in his opinion, in his understanding of Beis Shammai, that you have to have two sons and two daughters? Dichsiv, Vatosef la ledes es ochiv es hevel. So the Gemara says, what does it mean that Chava continued to give birth, and she gave birth, Laledes es achiv es hevel, to his brother, to hevel. So the Gemara understands over here that when it says es hevel, es is a ribui. Es always comes to include something additional. What does that mean? Hevel va'achoso, kain va'achoso. They're both say, again, and this also makes sense in terms of how the world continued, that both Kain and Hevel were born with a twin sister, and each brother married the other one's twin. So therefore, again, you see from here that Lamaisa, again, she had four children, two boys and two girls, Uksiv, and after Cain kills Hevel, and later on, Chava has another son, she calls him Shais, and she says, Kishas li Elokim Zera Acher, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gone ahead, and literally given me another son, Tachas Hevel Kihargo Kain, instead of Hevel, because he was killed by Kain. So we'll say, so what do you see from there? You see from there that again, Chava says that this new child is able to replace Hevel, so to speak, in order to go ahead and complete the family unit. So you see from here, the Gemara suggests, and according to Beis Shammai, Rabbi Nosson's understanding of Beis Shammai, that the mitzvah period of Rivia has two sons and two daughters. V'rabbanan, and when the rabbis, how do they explain this idea? Aduye had to come out this. No. Chava's not saying, making a statement that this is the complete family. Chava is just simply thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having given her another son. Tanya Idach, another Bryce. And I will say, all of these Bryce's just have different versions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So another Bryce. Rabbi Nosson says, Beis Shammai Omrim Zachar on the Keva. Beis Shammai say that to fulfill the mitzvah period of Rivia, I have to have a son and a daughter. U Beis Hillel Omrim O Zachar on the Keva. And Beis Hillel say, no, you have either a son or a daughter. Amar Rava, my time with Rabbi Nosson, leave the Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, Rava says, what's Rabbi Nosson's logic according to Beis Hillel, who says either a son or a daughter, Shene'emar, lo sohu bara l'sheves yitzara. Because the Bible says, we're going to quote this pasuk a lot in the next couple of daven, the pasuk in Yeshaya, where the Navi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not go ahead and create the world to be desolate. Now this, Rabbi say, we're going to interpret this to mean this is the mitzvah of Sheves. And we're going to see there are two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Piriv Rivya, mitzvah of procreation, and a mitzvah of Sheves. Now Piriv Rivya we're going to define in a very specific way. Whatever it's going to be, a son and a daughter, two sons, two daughters, will define that. Sheves is the general obligation to have children, which also means that even after one fulfills the mitzvah period of Rivia, there is still a mitzvah to continue to populate the world. And that's the base on this pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world, lo sohu bara b'sheves yitzara. God did not go ahead. Lo sober, or it's really lo sobera. God did not create the world to be tohu, to be astonishingly empty. Lo sheves yitzara. He created the world so it'd be inhabited. V'ha'avad le'sheves, and therefore, according to this logic, Beis Hillel would say, as long as you have one child, then by definition, you have populated the world, and that should be enough. Itmar, the Gemara quotes, so that's the machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So just for your own edification, so we, the Shulchan Aruch, Paskin is like Beis Hillel, and the version of Beis Hillel in the Mishnah, namely, that one fulfills the mitzvah period of Rivia after having one son and one daughter. Now again, remember, we'll get into this more, that does not mean that after one son and one daughter, a person shouldn't have any more children. So if possible, a person should have more children to fulfill the mitzvah of Sheves. But we'll see, again, we'll talk about the different nature of the halachic obligation of Piriv Rivia versus Sheves. But again, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like this first version of Beis Hillel and Mishnah. So the Gemara goes weiter. Itmar. Hayu lo banim. We'll say this. Oh, it's very interesting. Hayu lo banim biyosa ovei kochav. I mean, this guy. We'll say, listen to this. Let's say a person had children while he was a non-Jew, and then he converted. So the shaila obviously is, do those Gentile children, or the children that he had while he was a non-Jew, do they go ahead and fulfill his mitzvah piriv rivya? Does he have to have children again? Rabbi Yochanan says, ki em piriv rivya. He has been mekayim piriv verivya. He's been mekayim piriv rivya, Reish Lakish, and we're lo ki em piriv rivya. Reish Lakish says, no, he has been mekayim piriv rivya, because you can't mekayim pru or vu when, if you have children when you're Jewish. Rabbi Yochanan, amar ki em piriv rivya, daha havule. So I'll say, Rabbi Yochanan says, you have been mekayim piriv rivya. Why? Because Lemaisa, I will say, there's one thing you can't argue with, which is what? Those kids are in the world, right? Those kids are in the world. Now, you could discuss the nature of your relationship with them, but at the end of the day, you brought children into the world. If that's the case, then Lemaisa, can you be Mekayim Peruvu? V'Reish Lakish Amar Lo Kiyim Peruvya, Gershnis Gai Kachatash Nola Dami. Reish Lakish says, no, the most important principle of conversion is what? Conversion is a rebirth. Now, I will say, how does that rebirth manifest? manifest itself in that it severs your ties to anything that occurred before that conversion, to the point where Reish Lakish is actually suggesting that Lamaisa, those kids would not even be considered to be your kids. Although you share a biological bond, you do not share a halachic bond with them, and therefore, again, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya. V'azlo Tamayu. And both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish go according to their reasoning. The Itmar, Hayulo Bonim B'Yosov Ekochavim V'Niskayer, if a person had children while he was a non-Jew, and then he converted, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Lo Bechar L'Nachala. I will say, listen to this. So Rabbi Yochanan says that such a person will not have a firstborn for inheritance purposes. What does that mean? Daha Havulei Reishis Ono. Because I will say, listen to this. No, what does that mean? That means even if Lamaisa, let's say that person converts and he has another son once he's Jewish, that son that he has once he's Jewish is not considered to be the Bechar. Why can't he be considered to be a Bechar? Because the way the Torah understands Bechar is that he's the first of his father's seed, meaning that it's the first child that the father ever fathered. So Lamaisa, even if you want to say that the son that he had while he was a non-Jew is not considered to be his halachic son, but at the end of the day, the child he has after he converts is not Reishis Ono, is not the first of his seed. Therefore, Lamaisa, again, this would be a situation where a person could have, quote-unquote, two firstborn sons. One born when he's a Gentile and one born when he converts. And yet what? Neither will be a Bechar for inheritance purposes. Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish says, no, Yesh la Bechar l'nachala. Reish Lakish disagrees and he says, not true. When a person converts, we don't look at the children he had when he was a Gentile. Rather, again, we focus on the children he has when he is Jewish. And Lemaisa, again, that child he has when he becomes Jewish, that's his Bechar l'nachala. Furthermore, because when he converts, ultimately, again, that is like a rebirth, and therefore that child that he has when he becomes Jewish, that's his Bechar. So we'll say, now what we have over here is something very interesting. We have two iterations, two different versions of the Machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, both saying the same thing. In version number one, they're just talking about the mitzvah Pirei V'Rivya. So again, same line. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you had children when you are a non-Jew, you had a son and daughter when you are a non-Jew, and you convert, you fulfill the mitzvah Pirei V'Rivya. Reish Lakish says, no, you haven't. Gershin is Kata Shinola Dami. Machlokes number two, you had a firstborn son when you were a non-Jew, firstborn son when you are Jewish. Rabbi Yochanan will say that Lamaisa, what? There's no Bechar L'Nachala. No Bechar, because obviously the Bechar that you had before you converted, that can't be your Bechar for Jewish inheritance law. But the Bechar that you have afterwards also is not because he's not the first of your seed. Meaning, what Rabbi Yochanan is doing is, what is he doing? He's recognizing the validity of the child born before you converted. Reish Lakish is absolutely not. The child you have when you convert, that's your Bechar, because that child pre-conversion has no halachic standing. So the Gemara says, Utsricha. Now the Gemara asks, so why do I need both cases? Meaning, it's the same machlokes, Rabbosai. Reish Lakish is saying any children you had prior to conversion are halachically irrelevant. They do not come into the picture at all, whether it's for Pirei V'Rivya, whether it's for inheritance. Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, they do. So why do I need the same machlokes stated twice? Di'i ashmo inan bihi kamaisa bahi kam Rabbi Yochanan mishun de me'ikara nami b'nei Pirei V'Rivya minhu. Because I might have thought like this. If it would have just said the first case of Pirei V'Rivya, maybe that's the case Rabbi Yochanan says, that if you father children when you're a Gentile and then you convert, those children, you have been mekayim Pirei V'Rivya. Why? Because they will say, interestingly enough, non-Jews also have a mitzvah of procreation. They don't have a mitzvah of Pirei V'Rivya, but they do share in the mitzvah of sheves, of generally populated the world. So because even as a non-Jew I have that mitzvah, that's why, again, Rabbi Yochanan will say that children I had while I was non-Jew, while I was a non-Jew, are still valid for Pirei V'Rivya purposes. But when it comes to Jewish inheritance law, which Rabbi will say, which a Gentile is not part of, then maybe Rabbi Yochanan would agree that children that are fathered during my Gentile days, Lemaisa, again, have absolutely no bearing upon inheritance law, and therefore the firstborn son that I have when I become Jewish, he's the Bechar for Nachala. He would agree with Reish Lakish. Therefore, again, it has to state the second case to tell you that no, even when it comes to inheritance law, Rabbi Yochanan still recognizes the validity of the child born prior to conversion. V'i itmar baha, and if it would have only said the second case of nachala, baha. That's when Reish Lakish says that gershnis gaya kachalta shenola dami, aval bahahi Ema modil Rabbi Yochanan, but perhaps by period of Arivia, perhaps Rabbi Shlakish would agree with Rabbi Yochanan, therefore Tzvicha. Therefore, we'll say we need both cases to teach us that Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish disagree in both the case of period of Arivia, as well as in the case, ultimately, of Nachala. So the Gemara says, Ema modil Rabbi Yochanan, Esveit Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan raised the kasha on Reish Lakish. He says, Be'isahi, so we'll say, now he quotes, he's going to quote a couple of psukim that seem to indicate that there is a paternal bond, or there is, yeah, we'll call it, there is a paternal bond, ultimately between father and son, even by non-Jews. Ba'isahi, in this time, he's quoting over here now, the pasuk from Malachim. Ba'isahi, Shalach Berodach Baladan, Ben Baladan Melech Bavel, Sfarim Umincha El Chizkiyo, Kishama Kichala Chizkiyo. So Chizkiyo HaMelech is sick. So what happens? So Berodach Baladan, Ben Baladan, the king of Bavel, sends a get well card to Chizkiyo HaMelech. And Rashi points out, Baladan Ben Baladan, Alma Banim Mikru. So what do you see from here? You see that by non-Jews, there is a recognized familial bond. Now remember, I'll say this is Rabbi Yochanan asking on Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who recognizes the bond of paternity between father and son, even once father converts. So he's saying over here, you see that bonds of paternity exist even within the Gentile world. Amar Le, to which Reish Lakish responds, no, that's not a good comparison. Biyosin of the Kochavim Islu Chayis. Yes, when everybody's not Jewish and the whole family is not Jewish, of course there's a familial bond between them. But we're not talking about that. What are we talking about? Nisgairu. We're talking about conversion. When they convert, less lehu chayis. There is no bond. Amarav, Rav says, Akol moldin be'evesh in lo chayis. Everyone agrees that as much as by a non-Jew that we've just established that there is paternal bonds, by avodim, there is no yichus. There is no yichus. Rashi says, chayis misyachsin achari avihan. There is no yichus by avodim. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, shvu lachem poim achamor. Go ahead and stay here with the donkey. This is, again, by the akedo. The Gemara understands, im hadome lachomer. The Avraham Avinu was making a statement actually about Eliezer, that, again, not a qualitative statement about Eliezer, but more a statement about the general status of avodim. That the same way, bless you, the same way that by animals there's no yichus, so too by avodim there's no yichus. Meisvei, so the Gemara raises the kasha, what are you talking about? Uletziva chamisha asar banim ve'esrim, ve'esrim avodim. So Tziva, Rabbi Yosef, who was Tziva? We learned about him in Navi. Tziva was one of the servants of Shaul. So Tziva had 15 sons and 20 servants himself. So Rabbi Yosef, what do you see from here? You see from here that Tziva has sons. Tziva's an Eved, and yet there's still discussion about a bond of paternity. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, so the Gemara says, Kipar ben Bakar. When he says he has sons, that's like when the Torah says par ben bakar. That's what Rabbi Yosef, meaning that, okay, there's a relationship, but it's not a recognized yichus. I hachi hachanami. So say the same thing over here by Berodach, by the previous pasuk by Chizkiyo HaMelech. Shaini hasam diachsinhu bishmaihu u bishma davun. The difference in that case is that the Navi recognizes the name of the father and the name of the son, which indicates a yichus. V'hachala mefarish. But in the case of Tziva, the Gemara makes no, or that should say, the Navi makes no mention of the names of the sons. V'baisim, the other possibility is yachasinu beduchta achrisi ba'avuon uba'avavuon. The truth is, by Berodach, the elsewhere he is talked about, he's spoken about this genealogy with his father and grandfather. Dichsiv, because the pasuk vayishalchim amelach asa el ben Hadad ben Tavrimon ben Chizayon melach haram hayoshe bedamesek lemor. Fine. So therefore, because he's mentioned elsewhere, not just with his father's name, but with his grandfather's name, so you see that there's yichus. So what comes out is there is yichus by non-Jew. By Gentiles, there is no yichus by avodim. Itmar, hayu lo banu meisu. What's another interesting shayla? Let's say a person had children, but chas hashalom they died. So the shayla now is: has a person fulfilled the mitzvah period of arivia or not? Or must they go ahead and try to have more children? So Rav Huna, Amar Kim Per Rivia. Rav Huna says, once you've brought children into this world, even if Chas Hashem, those children die afterwards, a person has fulfilled the mitzvah period of Rivia. Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo Kiyem, not true. If the children die, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Rav Huna, Amar Kiyem. Rav Huna says, you've been Mekayim the mitzvah. Mishum de Ravasi, the Amar Ravasi, Ein Ben David Ba. Rabbi, listen to this Gemara. Ein Ben David Ba. Achi Yichlu Kalan Hashem Shebogov. Rabbi, we're going to see this again in Sanhedrin in greater depth. But we'll say it's an amazing Gemara. There is a chamber in Shemaim called the Guf. That's the name of the chamber. And it's in that chamber that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stores all of the souls. every single time a child is born, a neshama is taken from the guf. And the Gemara says we have a mesora that Mashiach only comes when then all of the neshamos are emptied out of the chamber of the guf. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef says the Gemara over here, if a person has a child and Rahman al-Islam, that child died, that life was still an impactful life. Why? Because the life of that child, the birth of that child, by definition, brought us quantitatively closer, one step closer to the coming of Mashiach. Just as an aside, that's why, that's also the Baal Shem Tov brings down, that's kind of Shalom Zachar also. That's why in general there's such incredible simcha over a child. It's not just, again, because we're happy, parents happy, people are happy, but because every single birth of a child is one quantitative step closer to the Bias Goel Tzedek. So therefore, again, even if the child died, the life was still impactful because one step closer to Mashiach and one is fulfilled in the Peer of Rivia. He goes on, Shinemar Kiruach Melafanayatov. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lokim Peer of Rivia. Rabbi Yochanan says, not true. If the child dies, you have not fulfilled Peer of Rivia. Why? Lesheves Yitzara Ba'ina Vahaleka. Because we'll say, what's the point of having children? The point of having children is to inhabit and settle the world. If this child, Rahman al Islam, died, then by definition, so the world is not being inhabited. To which the Gemara goes weiter. Nasir, the Gemara is the Kasha, B'nei Banim Harayim Kibanim. Grandchildren are like children. Grandchildren are like children. So the Gemara says, I'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Now, what does that mean? Kasaka dayit chos shemes hazachar nekeva, v'hayulo ben sheyitztarif im achos aviv, o im achi imo, ein avia av chayiv, old bepir v'rivya. V'taymah shahayulo lemes ben, ha'lav ha'chilo kiyim disheves b'ayin. So we'll listen to this. So the Gemara assumes when the Braisa says that grandchildren are like children, so that's just not a nice statement. That's not just a nice statement, but rather, again, it is a halachic statement. It means that, God forbid, let's say Reuven has a son, and Reuven's son dies. But before Reuven's son died, Reuven's son had a son. So Reuven has a grandson. So that's okay. The halacha is Reuven does not have to engage a peer of Reuven anymore. Why? Because his grandson could take the place ultimately again of his now deceased son for peer of Reuven purposes. So kitanya hahi. So when do we say this? Lahashlim. So the Gemara says that might be true when, in a case of lahashlim, look at Rashi. Kitanya hi lahashlim kigon shelo hayelo lezakin ela ben acher v'nasah ben isha v'ho. That might be true only in the case of Hashlama. Meaning, Rashi says, let me read that once more slowly. Let's say again, he only had one son, and that son then went on. He married a woman, and they had a daughter. So now, Abba said, then what? Then the mice, again, under those circumstances, he's fulfilled the mitzvah peer v'rivya through what? Through the daughter, through the granddaughter. And the son. So maybe when it says Bas, that B'nei Banim Kibanim, that means that my grandchildren could fill whatever period of Arivia gap I have within my own children. So the Gemara says, Meisve, B'nei Banim Harayim Kibanim, Meis Echad Meham, grandchildren are like children, if one of them, Chas V'Shalom, died, Oshinim Tzosiris, or one of them was found to be sterile, Lo Kiyim Period of Arivia. A person would not have fulfilled Piri of Arivia, to which the Gemara says, Tiyufta de Rafuna Tiyufta. This would effectively refute the position of Rafuna. So we'll say, just so you should know, how do we pass in Halacha L'maisa? So the way we pass in Halacha L'maisa is that we do not require, actually, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes an opinion that says that one has not fully fulfilled the mitzvah Piri of Arivia until one has grandchildren, but that is not how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that one fulfills the mitzvah of Piri of Arivia upon having children. If Chas V'Shalom children die, before having children of their own, then one would be mitzvah to try to have children, assuming that one is still in the parsha of having children. Okay, so the mitzvah really is, the mitzvah period is a son and a daughter, but that mitzvah reaches its full expression when my son and daughter in turn have their own children. So b'nei marim harayim kibonim. Let's go back there. Sover abayi lemeimar. So bra ubarta labarta. So again, when it says that grandchildren are like children, so abayi thought that, what does that mean? A son to a son, and a daughter to a daughter. the kol shekein, all the more so, bra libarta. But all the more so, if my daughter has a son, aval barta libra, lo. But perhaps, again, it's so, when do I say that, b'nei banim harim kibanim, that's only true if what? My son has a son, my daughter has a daughter, and all the, of course, if my daughter has a son. But if my son has a daughter, then I say that wouldn't be a fulfillment of b'nei banim harim kibanim. Amar li Rav, Rav said, what are you talking about? L'shevis yitzara ba'inan v'ha'ika, who cares? I mean, not who cares, but what does it matter at the end of the day if my son has a daughter, my daughter has a son? I mean, what's the goal? The goal over here is population. So again, remember, in my own personal mitzvah, Pir v'Rivya, I have a specific mitzvah of a son and a daughter. And again, we'll say, obviously, the most intriguing part of this mitzvah is you have a mitzvah that is really not up to you, right? All you can do at the end of the day is try. But again, it's a very unique mitzvah, but the results, obviously, are not in my hand. So the Rava says, when it comes to grandchildren, one fulfills this full expression of Pir v'Rivya in any kind of grandchild. I, the Gemara says, v'ha'ika dekuli alma mias trei mechad lo. See, what everyone agrees with is what Rabbo said, that lemaisa, that two grandchildren from one child would not work. V'lo, v'ha amri le rabbana l'rav sheshes, nosiv isisa v'olid b'ni, v'amr lehu b'nei barti. So the Gemara says, b'ni ninhu. To which the Gemara says, but yet it says that if a man marries a woman, va'olid bini, va'amar lehu, b'nei barti, b'nei banayim, and he says, the sons of my daughter are my sons, hasam duchuye kamatchi lehu, d'rav sheshes i'akar mipirkei d'rav hunar. Well, so listen to this. So Rav Sheshes himself became an akar, literally became sterile as a result of the shiurim of Rav Huna. Now, we'll say, how does that work exactly? Let's take a look at Rashi over here. I'akar mipirkei d'rav huna, shahaya ma'arich b'drashav. Rav Huna used to speak for a very long time. Utzrichim l'mei raglayim. And ultimately, again, so Rav Sheshes used to have to go to the bathroom very badly. And what happened? Umma'amidim atzman v'ne'ekarim. Well, so this is amazing. Just so you see how much, you know, in the times of the Gemara, so when the, you can imagine the Tana was teaching, nobody dared get up. It's just we live in such different times, just such different social norms. So again, nobody would move. So here you have Rav Sheshes, literally, Rav Sheshes. I don't know how long Rav Huna was speaking for, but Lamaise must have been a very long time. And literally, the Gemara attributes his inability to have children from the fact that literally he held in for so long. Amrli Rabba l'Rava Bar Mari, Minoha Milsadam Rabbanon. Where do we find this concept? That which the rabbis say, B'nei Banim Harei Kibanim. We'll say, now the Gemara stated this concept over and over already, which is that grandchildren are like children. Where does that concept come from? So we'll say, maybe it comes from last week's parsha, right? Where Lavan says, this is where Yaakov runs away. Lavan catches up with him. And Lavan says, you know, why did you run away? The daughters are my daughters. The sons are my sons. So you see, now Lavan is the Zeda. Lavan and Zayda, not exactly the paradigmatic Zayda, but a Zayda nevertheless. So you see, he's calling the grandchildren his children. So the Gemara says, Ella Me'atov, that that's the case. Lavan also says, V'hatson soni, right? He also says, and the sheep is my sheep. So what does that mean? That the sheep of your children are your sheep also? Ella Dekanis Minoi, Hachanami Dekanis Minoi. So also, rather, what Lavan was saying was what? What Lavan was saying was that you've acquired these as a result of me. Ella Me'hacha, just like you've acquired the sheep as a result of me, you've acquired ultimately, again, the children as a result of me as well. Ella Me'hacha, rather, we learn it out from here. V'achar b'chetzron, Albas Mochir Avi Gilad, Vateled Lo Es Suguv. So also here, the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, that afterwards Chesron came on to the daughter of Machir, the father of Gilad, and he took her as wife, Vahu ben Shishim Shana, Vateled Lo Es Suguv, and he gave birth to him as Suguv. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, B'nei Mochir, B'nei Machir Yardu Mechokikim. So look at Rashi. Uksiv, Yehuda Mechokike. So now look at Rashi. B'nei Machir Yardu Mechokikim. V'lo matzino lemeimar, mi b'nei banav, ela mi b'nei bito. Dahok siv kra achrina, Yehuda Mechokiki. V'lo mashkachas la delesu mitarvayo. Ela hachi dinafku mechokikim mechetzron, mi bito shamachir, alma b'nei biso kibana. So we'll say, essentially, what ends up happening is, the man marries a daughter of Yehuda, not a daughter of Yehuda, but a daughter from Shevet Yehuda, and the grandchildren are reckoned as the children of Menei Machir, Yardu Mechokikim, and Yehuda Mechokiki. So, to make a very long story short, a man is not from Yehuda, ultimately marries a girl from Yehuda, and the grandchildren are reckoned as the children of Yehuda. So, from here, you see that grandchildren are considered to be like children. Masnisin Delav Kirabi Yoshua. This Mishnah, our Mishnah, to Rabbi say, okay, now we stop over for just a moment. Pause. Now the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Masnis Dol Rabbi Yoshua. The Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yoshua. Why? What did Rabbi Yoshua say? The sign of Rabbi Yoshua, Omer Nasa Adam Isha Bialduso, Yisa Isha Biziknuso. Because also remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if I have not yet had children, I should not negate the mitzvah of Pir Verivia, which indicates that what? If I did have children, then what? Then what? Then I need not be concerned with the mitzvah of Pir Verivia. Well, this is in distinction to the position of Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua holds that even if a person was married in their youth and then their wife died, they should get married in their old age. Similarly, Hayula Banam Bialduso, Yihiula Banam Biziknuso, if I had children in my youth, I should have children in my old age also. Shnei Amar, because the pasuk says, "Baboker zera zaracha," in the morning sow your seed. Ula erev al tanach yadecha, and in the evening do not go ahead and abstain. Ki eincha yodea eze yikasher hazeh oze, because in life you never know what works out. V'imshteim ke'echa tovim, and if both work out, great. In other words, we'll say, what is the Gemara saying? It's quoting over here the pasuk from Mishlei. So, excuse me, the pasuk from Koheles. So what is the pasuk saying? Essentially, Shlomo Melech is saying, listen, in life you never know which efforts endure. So therefore, put in efforts when you're young, put in efforts when you're old, because hopefully between the two of those efforts, something will endure. And what's best case scenario? Best case scenario is if both of them endure, then even better. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Osei, listen to this. Amazing Gemara. Rabbi Akiva says, therefore, Lama Torah Bialduso, Yilma Torah Bizeknuso. Even if you learned a lot of Torah when you're young, make sure to learn Torah when you're old. Hayulo Tamidim Bialduso, Yilma Tamidim Bizeknuso. Even if you have students when you're young, establish students when you're old. Shene Emar, and Rabbi Akiva says, always learn, always establish Talmidim. Shene Emar, Baboker Zara Zarach. He quotes the same pasuk. In the morning, sow your seed. In the morning, go ahead and put in your efforts. In the evening, don't withdraw your hand. Keep putting in your efforts, because in life, you never know which efforts will yield fruit. And if both of them yield fruit, both of them yield results, even better. Or we'll say, now listen to this famous Gemara. Amru. Now, why did Rabbi Akiva say this? Because Rabbi Akiva lived this. Amru Shneim Asar Elef Zugim Talmidim Harilu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students, 24,000 students. Migvas Adan Tipros. From one end of Eretz Yisrael all the way to the other end of Eretz Yisrael. V'kulan Mesu Perek Echa Mipnei Shlo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. They all died during the same period. Why? Because they did not act appropriately towards one another. V'haya Olam Shamim. The world was desolate. Remember, the death of these 24,000 Talmidim is again was the death of the future of Torah leadership. Now again, remember, this is Rabbi. Understand those 24,000 Talmidim. That's Rabbi Akiva's life work. Rabbi Akiva got started at the age of 40, applied himself into that. That was his life. He saw his life's work vanish right in front of his eyes. So what did he do? He went, he found new students in the south of Eretz Yisrael, Vishonalam, and he taught them. Who were they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Vehem heim ha'emidu Torah osasha. And Abosai, again, from these five students, the Torah community was reborn. Tana, Kula Mesum Pesach Adatzeres. All the students of Rabbi Akiva died between Pesach and Shavuos. They all died a very terrible death. Maihi Amrav Nachman Askara. Rabbi say Askara is a death, a very painful death that comes as a result of a narrowing of the windpipe. So what do you see from here? So therefore, again, Rabbi Akiva makes this statement, not just as a nice piece of advice, but he's telling you how he himself lived his life. He lost everything that he planted in the morning, so he continued to plant in the evening, hoping that something would take root and continue to flourish. Amar Masna, Alach Rabbi Yoshua. Masna says that Alach is like Rabbi Yoshua, that even if a person had children in their youth, they should still continue to have children in their old age, because a person never knows what endures. Amar Rabbi Tanu Chamar Mechani Loi, Ko Adam She'en Lo Isha, Shari Belo Simcha, Belo Bracha, Belo Tova, Belo Simcha. So Abosai, the Gemara says, Rabbi Rabbi Chanilai says, any person who is not married does not dwell in a state of simcha, does not dwell with bracha, or I should say differently. Any person who doesn't have a wife, doesn't have simcha, doesn't have bracha, doesn't have good, doesn't have tova. Below simcha, what does it mean doesn't have simcha? D'chsiv, v'samachta atab v'secha. It says you will rejoice when it's what? When it's you and your wife. Wife is always a euphemism. Excuse me, you and your home. Home is always a euphemism for a spouse. Below bracha, he's without bracha. D'chsiv, lahaniach bracha el b'secha. To go ahead and have bracha within your home. Again, a reference to spouse. Below tova, without good. D'chsiv, lo tov hayos adam levado. It is not good for man to be alone. A reference to Tov only comes about if a person is privileged to find his spouse. B'ma'arava in Eretz Yisrael, Omri, they said, below Torah, below Choma. A person doesn't have a spouse, they don't have Torah, and they don't have a protective wall. Below Torah, what does that mean? D'chsiv, ha'im ein ezrasi bi, utishia nitcha mimeni. So we'll say ultimately again, because it quotes, he's playing over here on the word of ezrasi. Just like by marriage it says, ezer kinegdo. So a person can't reach their full abilities in Torah if they're not married. Below Choma, without a wall, d'chsiv, nekeva tisovev gavar. So, gever, that ultimately a wife, a woman, will encircle her husband. And we'll say, so everyone knows that one of the most wonderful aspects of having a wife is that wives have an uncanny ability to prevent their husbands from making significant life mistakes. So, mamish, again, that a good wife is mamish like a protective wall around her husband. And again, it only works after a husband realizes, becomes wise enough to realize that he actually should listen to his wife. Because very often, she's much smarter than the husband is, she becomes like that protective all around her husband. Rava bar ola amar below shalom. A person doesn't have shalom without a wife. Dichsiv ve'adata ki shalom ohalecha bakarata novecha velo techta. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kali odebi ishto shehira shemayim ve'ena pokta. Any man who knows that his wife is very pious and he is not intimate with her, he's not intimate with her. Nikra chote. Now we'll say, now what does that mean? He's considered to be a sinner. Shene'emar v'yadata ki shalom ohalecha. Now I will say, the reason for that, what he's saying over here, is that sometimes if a woman is exceptionally pious, she's going to perhaps be embarrassed to tell her husband that she desires intimacy with him. So a husband may mistake her lack of asking or her lack of initiation as a lack of interest. And meanwhile, again, it's just that for whatever the reason, maybe she's uncomfortable to initiate. Therefore, a husband always has to initiate intimacy with his wife. And again, if he doesn't do so, mistaking her lack of initiation, ultimately, again, as of a lack of interest, and therefore deprives her of that intimate bond, the husband himself is called the sinner. The husband himself is called the chote. Rabbi Shoban Levi says, Chayiv Adam Lifkor is Ishto B'Shal Shuyotze Lederech. A person is obligated. I will say, now we'll get into, I mean, we're not going to see this as much in this mesechta. I'll see in other mesechtas the idea of an ona, the idea that a husband is obligated to be intimate with his wife at different intervals, at different frequencies. But if a husband is going to travel, he is obligated to be intimate with his wife before he leaves on a journey. Shene emar v'adata ki shalom ohalecha. You must know that there is going to go ahead and be peace in your tent. So Gemara says, "Hame hachanafka." Do we learn it out from that pasuk? We learn it from this pasuk. Ve'ali sheikh tishukaseich. That said, literally, this is the chava. You will go ahead and desire your husband. Melameid sha'isha mishtokekes al bayla. That although a wife may always desire her husband, but when she knows that he's leaving the house, ultimately, again, she has even a greater desire for him, and therefore it's important for a husband to be intimate with his wife prior to going ahead and leaving on a journey. Let's just finish this up. Rav Yossi says, "Lo nitzracha ela samuch levesta." This is specifically true even if what? Even if she's going to become a nida shortly. So without getting into all the details, before a woman becomes a nida, there's a period of separation. Even before she becomes a nida, that period of separation is rabbinic in nature. So the Gemara says, if that additional period of separation happens to be before he's leaving on a journey, he is permitted to forego that additional rabbinic period of separation in order to be intimate with his wife prior to leaving on the journey. The kama, how much is that? Amar Rava says an ona. That's one additional period. So again, one additional period that husband and wife would abstain from relations prior to the onset of her nidus, he's permitted to forego that period prior if he's leaving for a journey. But again, this is only true if he's traveling again for non-mitzvah purposes, optional purposes, avalidvar mitzvah treaty. But the assumption is if he has to travel for a mitzvah purpose, his mind is preoccupied with the mitzvah purpose, and therefore he would be exempt from intimacy with his wife. We'll stop over here. Whew.